Ghostly Talk. Broadcasting from the world-famous Haunted Winery here in Warren, Michigan, this is Ghostly Talk on February 17th, 2008.
Ghostly Talk is independently produced every Sunday night from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time to converse about all things paranormal. For more info, go to www.ghostlytalk.com.
Tonight, Joni Gooden joins us to tell us about Marietta Ghost Tours. Later, we'll be talking about battlefield ghosts with Patrick K. Burke. Finally, Christopher Balzano joins us to talk about the Bridgewater Triangle.
Doug.
What a great way to start the show.
You knew it was coming, man. You knew it was coming.
First, they put me to work. They're like, all right, here, you read the intro. Yes, read all three parts. Oh, no, Bonnie can do the middle.
We're not slave drivers here.
I'm feeling okay. Oh,
you look all right. You got color in your face, you know.
Yeah. Red wine.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit of UB40.
Can we let the cat out of the bag here for the listeners?
Yes.
Doug got foobarred last night.
Little Dougie fresh.
Doug got so wasted last night.
And it was so
Let's get the official number on this.
42. I had 42 glasses.
Oh, well, yeah, that's a good way to
I'm pretty sure he drank three bottles by himself.
Yes.
When's the last time you actually did something like this?
It would have to be yourself. About 15 years ago.
15 years ago.
Yeah, in that range.
Hmm. Then, you know what? Not bad. You had a good run.
I had a good run.
The wagon must have been very comfortable for you to fall off after that many years. So
yes.
You had fun, didn't you?
I had told Bonnie that, you know, yes, we were going to have a party kind of thing. It wasn't the official divorce party.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, that I would still do Great. What I said I did.
Or what I said I would. By the way, everyone send in your thongs to Doug. He likes to wear them backwards.
Bonnie, I'm going to turn this keyboard over to you.
Okay.
Because I can't talk, and I'm a man, so I can't do two things. We don't have the laptop this week, so...
No, because I forgot it.
No, that's all right. Well, you know, that's part of the course, too.
Not only did I forget
when you kill about 10 trillion brain cells in one night, you're bound to forget something the next
day.
Some people forget what state they're in. Consider yourself lucky.
Yes, I did remember what state I was in. I was very, very happy to wake up fully clothed. that I was really excited about. I just don't party anymore. I'm not good at it.
And you should, because good God.
Are we telling stories?
Yes. No, all I'm going to say is we all needed a night like that after the way the year has started.
Yes.
And did you cheer me up?
Well, I'm glad I could be there for you.
And I have to say, you were quite cheered up as well, Debbie.
Yeah.
So.
I was definitely the life of the party, at least in my own mind.
Oh, you were.
Oh, really?
It wasn't just in your own mind. You were. You. I love you, Doug.
I can't believe I did that.
Well, like I said again, 15 years of riding on the wagon, I think you're perfectly fine to go out one night and enjoy yourself and have a couple of pops. So, you know, and the funniest thing is the guy just walked, go ahead.
The kind that Chris of MPI brings you, though, are...
Yeah, he's already claiming responsibility for you being drunk in the chat room.
Okay.
This I believe, and yes, I will grant him the honor of...
Way to go, Chris. Woo!
Of that title, yes.
Well, when those guys, we've had, I think you've hung out with them a few more times than Bonnie and I have.
Yeah.
But the few times that we have hung out with them, you know, they don't just come with like a couple of beers and maybe, maybe a little Jaeger here. No, they come with like straight tequila.
Yeah.
And they have like their specialized shot glasses for it, like with their initials on there or something.
Right.
And they just, you know, like every 15 minutes, boom, clang, there goes another one down their throats, right? So, yeah, it's definitely a higher caliber of drinking on their part. I was drinking Diet Pepsi all night.
I don't know how people are functioning today. I know you drank Diet Pepsi. You drank Diet Pepsi or whatever.
I didn't drink Diet Pepsi. No. I didn't drink anything.
You didn't have any even soda?
Nope.
Wow. Okay.
You were the only person that was drinking there besides the MPI people.
Evidently, it was me and MPI's party.
You'll be all right in a couple days.
Yeah, that's what it'll take.
You'll be fine. Well, that's, we both know that. You'll be
fine tomorrow. Yeah.
That's the reason I kind of just, you know, I jumped up on the wagon. Like, we talked about outside before the show here for a few minutes, you know. I think we counted like twice last year that I just got toasted, right?
Right.
And they were both at paranormal conferences.
Yes, they were.
The one place I shouldn't be loaded at, I'm there. I'm
Ghost
just full
World
blown.
And Mid-South, right?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
There you go. So
see, I like it the other way where everyone else is drinking.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Not the other way around.
I like personally enjoyed me not drinking and you drunk.
I'm trying to actually come up with sentences in my head, and it's just not working. So I think you guys are going to have to carry the show for the most part tonight.
Which is good considering we have to do two shows, Doug.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, we're going to be doing, I'm going to kind of be in and out like I was last week.
Right.
But you're going to be helping Nathan out with the Ghost Man Demon Hunter show.
Yes,
tonight.
As a matter of fact, good news. This was excellent news. Sean's, you know, back to himself. He's out of the hospital.
Thank
and
God.
He's... he's doing pretty good. I only got to talk to him briefly yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But
he's feeling better.
Really, really, really happy about that.
Well, I'm glad that Sean is feeling better.
Yes.
We were all worried about him very much. He was supposed to actually be up here this weekend with everybody, but he got sick. He had to go to the hospital. So it's good that he's back to normal. Now we can get him up here and do what we were supposed to do before, hopefully.
Evidently, some drunk dialing went on. Do you remember when
I didn't know about
dialing.com?
Oh, you know, I was just telling somebody about that this week. The drunken dialing website.
That was it. Drunken dialing.
You know, we might have to play some of those sometime down the road. I have all that stuff backed up, like on a hard drive somewhere. It's just all archived.
We have one of yours, but we can't play
it. You can't play
it
on
your
own. Oh, man, that would still be. No.
Yes, we do have your drunk dial. That was awesome. But no, evidently, I got to talk with Jay Gow.
Mm hmm.
Mm hmm.
Last night, and wow.
That was my fault, because the second I got in the car, I started thinking, who we know that would be up at 2 o'clock in the morning that would want to hear Drunk Doug? And I was like, oh my God, I know Gow will be up. So I called him. I'm like, you've got to call Doug.
Yes.
He's so drunk, you're going to love it.
That was something.
Well...
I remember talking to him, but I don't remember like what we said.
I remember exactly what you said because he told me word for word. It's awesome.
And
we made this on tape.
There was another phone call, an outgoing phone call, like 4:30 in the morning or something.
Mm-hmm.
To let me just say, I'm sorry.
Doug apologizes for all calls going out on his phone last night.
Yes.
How many calls did you make?
It was just those two. It was Gowan and then my
Doug
friend.
Doug didn't make the last one.
I didn't. Evidently, I didn't make that call.
I'm confused.
Someone
else
made a call from his phone to one of his friends.
Yes.
So.
Who was supposed to be here this weekend. And,
oh, really?
Yeah.
So it was this was an absentee call on you, but it was from your phone.
Yes. And I'm like, What the heck happened?
So you got the angry call from this person today?
No, but
why
I...
Why'd you call me that name?
I probably will. but yeah, I don't even know what was said. I have an idea, because somebody, you know, told me about it, but I'm like, oh my gosh.
Well...
I don't get it.
All I can say is, people, pool your money. Doug has to have a price. And if you want to see the funniest thing you've ever seen in life... Offer him large chunks of money to do that again, because it is so worth it.
No, never again.
You can't say that. You didn't say never again. You just said, every time I get divorced. So
right.
I'm going to make it a habit to get married and divorced once a year.
So we're looking for a suitor for Bond. And someone to get, you know, married and then immediately divorced.
We don't even have to live together.
Right.
It's perfect.
It could be like... a correspondence marriage.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be, like, even in person, so...
Well, we'll get to work on that immediately, but I'll get you married as soon as possible. So we can see Doug, we'll just call you Drunk from now on. That's just
okay,
your nickname.
That works.
How's it going, Drunk?
Fabulous.
Somebody has $34.52 in the chat room, Tanya. Has $34.52. I guess the offer.
Well, there we go.
You know what we do? Maybe if we get the whole like ghost hunting / paranormal / celebrity community, whatever you want to call it now, together, maybe we can have them pool their millions of dollars together from all the shows they're doing, and like, you know, we can like, you know, just pool our money together and get like $1 million for Doug, and he'll just get loaded one night. It'd be great.
It would be.
And between the pooling of the money and me getting married and divorced every other week.
Right.
We'll be
every
good to
other
go.
Week.
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
There's got to be a market for that somewhere. Because,
you know,
they have
drive-through divorces in Vegas.
Yes, they
so
do.
As
yes,
long as I
do.
Get married in Vegas, I can drive through and get divorced.
Okay. Looks like
actually, there's a marriage place right up the road here.
Yeah,
no, seriously. Like 1 mile up the road, there's
a little wedding chapel,
like $30 you can get married.
I proposed to Doug earlier.
And the funniest part is I see weddings there on the weekends. Mm-hmm. You'll drive by there and you'll see like a limousine and like people in tuxedos and stuff. They're getting married. Well, like t-shirts with the tuxedo thing on there.
Right.
That's what they have pretty much. And this, it's a thriving business. It's been there for years.
Yeah, but see, if you do that here, then you have to, this is a little bit of divorce knowledge for you, then you have to wait the mandatory 3 months that the state of Michigan says you have to wait in order to be divorced. I don't like that. If I get married in Vegas and then get divorced in Vegas, it can happen overnight.
Yeah. What's the mandatory, like, that's like you get 3 months...
If you don't have,
is that
kind of
like if that? Well, if that's like if you decide to like, you know, if you patch it up.
Yeah,
okay.
They make you wait 3 months. If you have kids, they make you wait 6.
Wow, really?
Yep.
Well, I guess that makes sense. Unless you really hate that prick.
Well, in my case, I really hated that prick. So.
Well, there you go.
I really didn't like it.
A couple of announcements here. Got to get out there. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Are you feeling better now? You kind of getting up to speed now?
I think I almost had an original thought there for a minute, and then it went away. I'm just going to let it, you know, it'll come to me.
There's no I.O. whatsoever going on. All right.
No.
This is going to be
my
interesting display show.
My display is not flashing.
Wow. Two dork terms in 20 seconds. That's beautiful. I love it. Dead of Winter Film Festival. I want to mention this again.
Oh,
it's coming up. It's like right on our tailbone right now.
Two weekends from now. Not this upcoming weekend, but the next one.
Next week, it'll be the weekend of the 1st of March.
Yes.
So it's kind of like, it's one of those weird weekends where there's like 2 months in one weekend. Friday's the 29th, and then March 1st is a Saturday. Decatur, Illinois. Dead of Winter Film Festival. We're going to be down there. Our buddies from Ghost Man Demon Hunter Show is going to be down there. Heather. From HPI is going to be down there. We've been around here talking to her a couple
Spiro
times.
Spiro Productions
will be there. Our good friends. A bunch of people are going to be there. It should be a really fun weekend, and I just wanted to mention that again. So, I'm totally looking forward to going on to Decatur myself.
Well, I love independent anything, and independent films, it's right there. I love it.
Yeah.
I have to be there.
It's going to be a good, fun weekend, I think. We're all going to enjoy ourselves. We haven't been to Decatur since... June of last year.
Haven't been since October.
June of...
Yeah, because you went to Spooktacular.
And the two of us were in Chicago.
We went to Chicago.
Okay.
So,
that
was my input.
That was pretty good.
Thank you, Doug. Good job.
Yay.
That was pretty good, man. You're getting there. You'll be okay in a few minutes. So definitely, if you haven't signed up for that yet, definitely... go to prairieghost.com/winter.html. You got that memorized. And all the information is on that page. $10 to watch, like, what?
Six films.
Yeah.
And talk and see the people who made it, the people who made the films, and
yeah.
interact with them and talk to them. And,
yeah.
In our case, laugh at us.
Yeah.
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 Which is pretty much all you're going to do.
That's what's going to, yeah, that's what's going to, nobody's going to take us seriously after
is
that weekend.
Is Dr. Dawn going to go?
Hmm.
Do you think it's going to actually be Dr. Dawn?
I don't know if
or
she
Dr. Dawn
can schedule that in. There's a possibility Dr. Dawn might show up at the Dead of Winter Film
That
Festival.
Would be very interesting.
Doesn't she have to have a rider, though, when she goes? That's what I was told. It's like 400 Twix bars, like
yeah.
a carton of Marlboro menthol light cigarettes.
Mm.
What else was I told? I know we saw this thing before.
I know.
Complete two full deli trays with prosciutto has to be on.
Right.
As part of the deli tray.
Yeah.
I think a couple of you know, sandwiches from what's that place? Quiznos. Yeah, Quiznos. A couple.
Yeah.
Who knows? A lot of stuff on the rider though for that.
Yeah.
So I know I've seen that before.
She is a bit of a queen, but mm-hmm. you know what can you do?
Dead of Winter Film Festival, March 1st. Definitely check that out. I just want to mention again, submitting news articles. Oh, by the way, too, I didn't put this on the list here, but yesterday was the last day to submit for the ORVP.
Ouch.
Yeah.
I was drunk.
I mentioned it last
week. I don't remember.
I mentioned it last weekend. I hope you guys out there all submitted. We're going to be talking about that next weekend with Vance.
Excellent.
All the results from that, the session work. So that should be pretty cool. Hopefully you submitted. If you didn't, shame on you. You should be kicked in the head. Because it's going to be a really cool thing.
Yes.
I did mine a couple weeks ago, and it was just like, I forgot how much fun it is to remote view. Well, to do an open remote viewing project like that with no set, like, hardcore protocols on you. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, that's why it's the open remote viewing project. You can do whatever you want. And I did mine. I'll say it right. I can admit this. I did mine in the office again.
Cool.
Quiet setting.
Cool.
It's always a good place to do that. So next thing is
I see that on the list. And if
submitting news article.
Oh, okay. I thought you were gonna go down to that one.
We will.
Good.
Submitting news articles. People are starting to do it. It's really cool.
That's
starting
awesome.
To see more and more people submit stuff, and I check the submission queue like, you know, 20 times a day too. So, you know, submit it. It should go up usually the same day, if not the next day for sure. I'm always checking that thing, and we usually get them up there right away for you guys as long as they're cool, which everybody's submitting great stuff. We're all having fun with the, like I said, I'm like, let's get creative with this and make the smart aleck comment before, you know, and then post up the link and have people go to wherever it has to go to read the whole article. But people are starting to do that, and it's becoming a lot of fun. And I'm enjoying reading all the articles from all over the place, too. Thanks, guys. Do we want to talk about this? We got a few minutes before we go to break.
I think it needs to be mentioned.
I think so, too.
Do we want to do this nice or do we want to do this mean?
I think we should do it in true Bonnie fashion.
Because I haven't heard anything about this. I really haven't heard anything about this. And this isn't really characteristic of us to really address these things, but, you know, we showed a concern last week, too, like a lot of people did.
Right.
Right. So, you know, I feel a bit betrayed.
I feel...
Now, granted, we haven't heard any details, though. I mean, maybe there was a misunderstanding here. Maybe there was something that was messed up. We should be fair about that.
I don't think there was a... I think it was blatant disregard for the community.
Okay, well, what we're talking about is this missing persons case.
Right. They had said, oh, there's a ghost hunter who's gone missing.
Mm-hmm.
He was,
I didn't pull his name because it really... I mean,
it doesn't matter.
Everybody knows who he is.
He had gone to start a new job or something, and he was driving a pickup truck, and he didn't check in the hotel, and he didn't show up for work and all that stuff. And we were concerned, and we talked about it last weekend
mm-hmm.
on the show, and it turns out...
Well, the next day we found out.
Yeah,
I mean, you hit me up the next
day,
which was like this past Monday, and you're like, okay, they found him. I'm like, oh, that's great.
Well, that was my
initial.
That's
awesome. That's good
to
hear. Okay, I'm glad he's safe, you know. So, you know, was he abducted? What happened to this poor guy? Is he all right? Well, no, he was fine. He was actually working his job, and nothing really happened. You know, and I did review the material that was out there. I went through it. I actually, you know, after, you know, during the show and after the show, I reviewed that. And they did, this group in question, they did say, you know, that this person did not report to the hotel they were scheduled to stay at, and they did not report into work.
Right.
Now, from what I understand...
That makes it seem like they made a phone call.
Well, it makes you seem like they followed it up,
yeah. Whereas they didn't. No. All they did was, what, not hear from him or something? And then they started posting on Satan's page.
Well, it's all about Satan's website, yeah.
Right. They sort of posting.
Any excuse to put a bulletin up there. And then,
but they
see,
also did
the
a ribbon campaign.
If we went on that criteria, Doug would be missing every other week.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, and that's my point, is that we usually keep in contact with each other.
Yeah.
Phone calls, stuff like that. From what I see in this situation, like I said, I reviewed the material. They said he never showed up. He was missing. They didn't know where he was.
But he had.
But he had showed up, so
which
that means somebody
that
did not make a phone call.
These people, like, booted up Photoshop and started a ribbon campaign.
Well, yeah, and that's what you made that comment, too, on Monday, and it was true. It was funny, but true. You're like, these people have the expertise to make these beautiful Photoshop images and do all this fun stuff, but they can't pick up a telephone and do some investigative work.
Right.
That's what you're supposed to be in the first place, I thought, is you're a paranormal investigator, a PI, right?
Right.
Well, part of that is following things up and making phone calls and talking to people and getting information, right? And that doesn't seem like that was done in this situation. It just was, in my opinion, and hey, whatever, I don't care. It was just an excuse for somebody to play with their toys and go on MySpace and post a bunch of bulletins and all this stuff.
And what it does, what it does is overall, it's very negative because when somebody really is missing,
well, it's the boy who cried wolf.
Right. Exactly. Because when and there have been people who really, you know, used MySpace to help get the word out. Hey, look for my kid or my friend or whatever. And
yeah,
sometimes it works. But the thing is,
well, they have the Amber Alert thing on there, I noticed, mm-hmm. now, which I think is a very, very positive thing to have on there. Seeing that most people spend more time in front of their computers now than the TV set,
right?
It seems logical to move on to that medium. And I see that, you know, I'll log on there and it'll say you have an Amber Alert going on
right.
in your area,
right?
And then you click on the thing and it gives you all this information. That's super cool, right? Again, I mean, I don't really know exactly what the explanation is. I was hoping to hear from something from these people, because I have been kind of checking up on their website and stuff.
Yeah.
Just to see if they said, hey, look, we've got a lot of flack for this. Let's try to explain the situation here. There was a misunderstanding. Sorry about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I have heard nothing. I have heard nothing whatsoever. That doesn't mean they don't owe us anything. They don't owe me anything. They don't owe you anything.
No,
think.
But what
at
they
the
need
same
to
time
do.
Is it's like, okay, look, you made this big hoopla.
They have
over this
they've lost all credibility with me.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, completely.
What it looks like is that they were just trying to get their name out there.
It worked, but it's a negative.
That's what it looks like. I hope to God it wasn't that. But it's what it definitely what it appears to
mm-hmm.
be. Or just, again, you know, let's start the ribbon campaign. You know, and there is, you know, this term I like to use called enlightened self-interest. Corporations love to do it.
Yes.
You know, enlightened self-interest, which is, you know, let's do all these nice things, but not. We're just doing it to do it, more or less. We're not really doing it because we care about these people. It's just going to make us look good by doing that. That may be part of this thing, too. If these people are upset about us saying this, fine. You know what?
Oh, believe me.
We keep ourselves pretty tight-lipped about a lot of garbage.
I would really, really enjoy that.
Yeah, yeah.
I would enjoy that if they came to me and said, hey, you know, what you're talking about on your show, you don't know anything. And I'd be like,
well, then
oh,
enlighten me and tell me what's going on here.
Yeah, tell us what happened.
Maybe
why did
me
you
by
start
saying
a
something,
ribbon campaign with Photoshop instead of picking up the phone and calling your friend?
If they would have called,
or call the work,
I understand,
or, and they even put like a police department phone number in the announcement.
Mm-hmm.
Making it seem like they had called them, you know.
Well,
and now,
a couple of people in Georgia were the ones that followed this up. And again, you know what? It was because they read this on Satan's website.
Right.
And they followed it up themselves, and they went to the hotel because they were right local to that area.
Right.
And
the ghost towns, I think. Something
Patrick Burns Group. You know,
right.
Kudos for those guys. Cool. You know, they went down there
fantastic.
And called. Yeah, and they said he checked in a couple days ago. He's been here, and he's on the road working right now.
Yep.
What's the problem? Well, I don't understand what's going on.
See, I think
this guy probably even know what's going on still.
He was probably
he's gonna come
as
home
much
and go,
a victim as all of us were.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I just hope that doesn't happen again. Because, again, it isn't because, you know, shame on you, but there may be a situation, like you mentioned, Doug, down the road where
I don't even
this may happen.
See, like, the character pages for American Ghostwatchers, I think are hilarious. Those are humor. and they're poking fun, and it's a lot of fun, and the characters interact with each other and with other people, mm-hmm. with real mm-hmm. people, and I really like that. That's funny.
Yeah,
putting out a MySpace.
We've been very clear with those things. Yeah,
on a missing person. If that was
That's
meant to be
stuff.
Funny, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't funny at all.
It was just,
and, you know, American Ghost Watchers, all that fun stuff. I think it's very, very clear, despite some of the emails that we have received on this, that these are satirical, funny characters. They're not meant to be taken seriously.
It's
a joke.
There's
Correct.
Ways to have fun on MySpace.
And there's ways not to.
And there's ways not to. And putting out an alert for your missing friend when you didn't even call the company and find out if he'd, you know, reported
Checked
for
in.
Work.
Checked in.
Yeah. It's...
I don't think this is that difficult.
Disgusting.
Yeah, I don't think this is that difficult to do that. I mean, I've done stuff similar to that, mm-hmm. where, you know, we needed to find someone quick. I mean, just the other night, you know, I'm the kind of person that'll actually go that extra mile. Like, well, we know they're at that restaurant, but they're not picking their cell phones up. Well, hang on, let's get the number to the restaurant and call the restaurant. I've done that before. I don't care. What's it going to hurt for the bartender?
You've called me before looking for you.
So. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, when we're trying to track people down sometimes, you got to go that extra mile. Apparently, these people just couldn't do that. It was more important for them to make, you know, to Photoshop his picture several times on different templates and put, you know, save Michael, or I forget, I think his name was Michael or something like that.
Something like that,
It don't really matter now. But, you know, it's a real bummer. It's a real bummer, and... There's a lot of weird stuff going on in this community right now as far as, you know, the paranormal is concerned. And this is just another one of those things that really kind of irks me.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, what's going on out here? You know,
what were they thinking, you know?
I mean, if you're going to claim to be an investigator, whoa, then you're doing nothing. Because if you can't do that correctly, just follow something up. All you would have to do is call the company.
Right.
Call the company.
But they made it seem like they had called the hotel.
I don't even know what that. I mean, I don't want to call anybody a liar on the air. I'm not going to. What are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to think here?
Right. Exactly. You're supposed to think that. Oh, I'm so glad he's okay. Well, yeah, he's okay, and I'm glad. But
I'm really happy he's okay.
What about the, you know, the trickery that you put us through?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's just. I don't even know what to say about it.
Because
it's really, it's perplexing.
It was uncalled
for. It's as perplexing as some of the stuff we worked on in the field. Mm-hmm. You know, Whispers of State recently. I mean,
oh, yeah.
What do we do half the show? I don't know. I have no idea. The same thing goes here. You know, you want to assume the best of people always. I always try to. I want to assume the best of people, that they're honest and they care and they're doing the best they can. And if there was a miscommunication here, if there was misunderstanding, I'm all ears. I know you're all ears, too. You're all ears also, Bonnie. I'd like to hear what's going on with this thing, but I have heard nothing yet. So, hey, I'm not calling anybody out, but it'd be very nice to hear something like, you know, here's what we did. We screwed up. Sorry. Take some responsibility, at least, bottom line.
Yeah.
All right.
I agree.
Let's go to break. Now that we've upset half the people out there, probably.
I'm going to go take a nap.
Coming up, Joni Gooden. Is going to be talking about Marietta Ghost Tours with us. That should be pretty cool. A lot of stuff going on tonight. Stay tuned. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
We'll be right back after this.
Ghostly Talk!
Power Hub Radio.
The Internet's only rock and roll paranormal extravaganza.
Special guest with us, Robbie Thomas, psychic medium.
Where is the Lawrence House?
It's in Ontario, Canada. It is a house that was owned by a shipbuilder, and it was haunted. The tools of the trade back then were baby powder. The reason being is I could see, and the kids with me couldn't, so I figured if I threw the baby powder in the air as the spirit was walking through, it would cover it, and then they could say, oh, we see it now. The next tool was a flashlight, so we knew where we were going, and a rope, so we could tie it around so we don't get taken away by the spirit. So that
hey,
was
Anthony, isn't that what your last girlfriend said?
that's just a Friday night for Anthony. Baby powder, a rope, and a flashlight.
Para Hub Radio, Thursdays, 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern, on Bounce Radio and ParaHub.org.
Sundance, Park City, Utah.
Cannes, France.
New York City!
What do all these places have in common, Gooseman?
Well, I don't know, Demon Hunter.
They are the homes of some of the best-known film festivals in the world.
But wait, now you can join authors Troy Taylor and Luke Nalborski from the American Ghost Society in the first-ever Dead of Winter Film Festival in Decatur, Illinois.
March 1st, 2008. Come and experience the best independent films on ghosts, hauntings, and the supernatural.
Prices start at $10 for general admission with all-access passes for $75.
Get the first look at these new films. Join in the investigation of the Haunted Lincoln Theater and meet the filmmakers.
Not to mention the Ghost to Talk radio crew and the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
For reservations, go to www.prairieghosts.com/winter.html or just call 1-888-446-7859.
Hey guys, be sure to be there March 1st at the Haunted Lincoln Theater in Decatur, Illinois.
Don't miss the chance to say, I was there for the first Dead of Winter Film Festival.
Don't be caught bored waiting for something to go bump in the night. Listen to the Paranormal Broadcast System with Brad, Brandon, Todd, and Paul.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Man.
Listen to some great interviews with some amazing guests that run the gamut from ghost hunting groups across the country to paranormal personalities in the media. First, let's be serious for a moment. Then let's have some fun! We've got it all covered. Tune in and listen to intriguing interviews with our hosts from L.A. Spirits and the Louisiana Spectral Research Center. Then kick back and listen to us try to be funny with some crazy Cajun. And some other guys, too. This is no kid show, folks. It's the Paranormal Broadcast System. Listen to us poke fun at ourselves. It's funnier that way. You can find us at www.lagghosts.com. That's www.lagghost.com. You are listening to Ghostly Talk.
Are we all together?
Yeah.
Yeah, we are.
Okay.
The fun has already started.
Yeah, no kidding.
You guys.
No, really, we're.
I'm a little scared here. Is that the point of this whole thing?
No, you're supposed to be relaxed and have a lot of fun. We are live on the air right now. By the way, Marietta, George. Yes.
Yes, I talk for a living, so you know it's not just.
Well. Okay. Let's get you introduced, yes. and then we'll hopefully have a really really fun time. Marietta, Georgia has a past that is deep in tradition, history, and quality of life. As with any community with these traits, some residents choose to never leave. Whether it is the departed spirit of a Civil War soldier or a mysterious resident of one of Marietta's stately homes or businesses, you will hear the stories behind these mysteries. As some tour guests have, you may... Okay, I'm not doing this very well.
You all right?
No. You will hear the stories behind these mysteries, and as some tour guests have, you may even see them yourself. Every ghost and haunting has a story. We have brought for our... I don't know.
He's melting down.
I'm absolutely not good at this. Am I making you nervous?
Yes, you are.
We brought.
Hey, you did it. You did that very well. And I'm in need of a tour guide. Would you?
That tour would be about 6 hours long if I keep stumbling over it. But you have www. It's ghostsofmarietta.com. Is that it?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
And we brought Joni Gooden. Welcome to Ghostly Talk.
How are you doing tonight, Joni?
Thank you very much. Very good. Very good. Happy to be here.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know if you're going to feel the same way in about 30 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know if you can go downhill.
Go easy on me, man.
Well, we've had a couple of other guests in the past that do ghost tours like this, and we've been on several of them ourselves, you know, all over the country.
Have you?
Like
yeah.
And they're always a great time.
Yeah, I actually started out the whole ghost experience for me. I was actually living in Key West and working during the day as a paralegal, and I told you about that, Scott, already.
Yeah.
Talk about scary. That's just painful work. So I was doing that during the day. Have any of you ever been down there to Key West?
No.
Not myself, no.
To go.
Amazing place, but, I mean, to live there is very, very expensive, so... I was looking for a nighttime job, and I really didn't want a bartending position. I saw this ad in the paper for a ghost tour guide, and I thought, gosh, what could this be, you know? So I actually met with a guy, David Sloan. He was the creator of the ghost tours of Key West, the original ghost tour of Key West. And, you know, he very kindly gave me a job. And it's one of those things that you fall into that you find out that you really love and you're actually pretty good at it. So I was the only working paralegal. I'm sorry, that's a terrible joke. But it's true, yeah. So I was a paralegal by day and a paranormal investigator and ghost tour guide by night. And I did that for 5 years. Ended up actually buying the company from him because I liked it so much. Sold out my piece of the business in 04 and ended up in Marietta, Georgia. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you guys have ever been here. It's a little city just north of Atlanta.
Oh, yeah.
But they didn't really have anything going on here at the time, and just kind of started talking to people. They have a little historic square that you really don't see these places much anymore across the country. Just charming little old town square, and, you know, General Sherman marched right through the middle of the town and burned it to the ground, so, you know there are ghosts here. But kind of started working on this thing in 04, put out my first tour in the fall of 06, and we've been running now for, excuse me, about a year and a half. We are running full-time now. We are year-round. I've got tours scheduled every weekend, but, you know, we'll work out anything you want to do. I took out a bachelorette party. Now, I don't know why you would want to go on a ghost tour for your bachelorette party, but I was happy to take them. So
I think it sounds like a lot of fun, actually, you know.
But so you guys have done them, I guess, around the country. Where have you all taken tours before?
Gettysburg,
Chicago, Decatur.
I was going to go to the one in San Francisco, the Haight-Ashbury.
Oh, the Haight-Ashbury, yeah.
But I ended up not going on that trip, but I really wanted to get out there and go on that one.
That one's slated for sure, though. I know that.
It's a for sure. I'm going to get to do it eventually. I know that.
Yeah. Well, did you all enjoy the ones that you did?
Yeah. Completely. They were totally great. I mean, it's always, you know, a lot of times you go to certain places. Well, you know, I guess we're a little bit luckier because we kind of do this show and stuff like that. So we've made a lot of friends all over the country. So whenever we go somewhere, you know, somewhere else in the country, we always have a friend that can kind of guide us around. But if you're someone,
it's a good thing.
Yeah, if you're someone who's just kind of cruising around, traveling a little bit, and you want to learn some ghost lore from a certain area, or you want to learn some stories, or you want to see some exhibits or sites that are in the area, one of these tours would be great because you have someone who's got a lot of experience with the town right there to tell you the stories, show you the landmarks and things like that. It's a definite great tool to have for any city, I think.
We are really heavy on the history too, so you know it's fun. I mean, I've done a million things in the past, and at one point I was a teacher, and So there's always an edge to get kids to learn. You've got to throw something else in there, you know, and throw in a ghost story. And so that's what I think is fun about this. You get a lot of history of your town. You learn things you'd never imagine, and then you've got some cool ghost stories to go along with it.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in Kentucky, and you know, we had a bunch of kids, and you know, no money, so, a bunch of Catholics. but my dad would take us all. We camped a lot. You know, he'd take us up in the woods, and then the parents always thought it was fun to get all the kids at midnight and take them up to some old Civil War cemetery and, you know, scare the crap out of us. And so I loved it. I mean, we loved it. So I think it just the whole tradition of storytelling, it's been around forever, and it's a dying art, and I think it needs to be brought back. And, you know, what I enjoyed so much this past October, we had lots and lots of families come out. People are looking for things to do, and a lot of people don't like traditional scary haunted houses, you know, where you've got things set up. And
yeah.
That's terrifying to a lot of people, including myself. And so, you know, this is a – I had parents coming up to me after the tour saying, you know, we loved it. The kids loved it. It's scary to the point where, you know, it's intriguing, but it's not terrifying. So, and I just – you know, October's a beautiful time here, September, October, November, and, I mean, of course, that's when we get our biggest crowds, but it's always a good time for a ghost story, and, you know, I just think it's going to be, they're springing up in every little nook and cranny across the country. Any place you go today, you're going to find a little ghost tour if you look around.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's one here. But
I
don't think there's one here because we're in the Detroit area.
Well, what's there to see in the Detroit area that
I
isn't burnt down yet?
I can't think that anyone would want to take a tour of Detroit.
That's true.
Just get on the people.
I don't want to take a tour of Detroit.
I get on the people mover and get yelled at by security guards all day long,
that's
like I do. And you know, there's your ghost tour in Detroit.
What are we going to show them? The scenes of random drive-by shootings.
Yeah.
Hey, look, there's Ford Field. Yay. Ooh.
So I have to tell you, I've only been to the airport airport there. I've never really been to the city.
Oh, that's bad enough.
Yeah, don't venture outside of the airport. Yeah.
I mean, you guys are frozen down for months, aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, that's kind funny. Of. Like, it will be frozen down for a month, and then it will get, like, 70 degrees one day, and everything will start to melt, and it'll liquefy, and then it'll automatically just freeze up right away. So then it's a big sheet of ice all over
everything.
Yeah, some
of it looks like ice skating rink.
Yeah, yeah. So it's very random here. There's a lot of deaths. It's a beautiful town. I mean, yeah, it's fun. But no, we don't have one, like you said.
But I don't think we have one yet, but I do know that there are more and more popping up all over the place.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad Marietta has, that you have the one in Marietta, because when I was down there, I've been to Marietta, and it was phenomenal. We ended up, though, going to Kennesaw Mountain, which is nearby, and taking a little tour of that, but there wasn't a ghost tour. This was, wow, we're talking 8 years ago.
Eight
or 9 years ago I was down there. And so the closest thing I could do is to having a ghost tour kind of thing was go to the Kennesaw Mountain and buy a book.
Yeah.
That's all that happened. I bought a book.
I have all those books.
He probably still hasn't read it,
I probably still haven't read it, but I did buy a book and went to Kennesaw Mountain. That was my ghost tour experience. Then we went the next day
Did you walk around the Cheatham Hill battlefield up there? Did you walk around through the park a little bit?
Yes, we did.
You know, we had a fascinating story. We got a call in early October from a reporter from I think it was Channel 11 News here that had a friend who was passing through the park about 11 o'clock at night with his 16-year-old son, and they actually had a ghost and a horse and rider come running out of the park and ran across the street, and this gentleman hit his brakes, and there was an oncoming truck in the other lane, hit his brakes. They watched this horse and rider run towards we had a saber extended. He was wearing he described a blue Civil War uniform. And the horse was barreling towards a fence, and he thought for sure it would jump it, and it went straight through it. So they called me. I'm not sure why, but
wow.
I said, sure, yeah, we'll talk about it, you know. But they actually did a little reenactment, and it was picked up across the country, and they showed it all day on Halloween.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you guys caught that or not, but yeah, that was our little horse and rider, and apparently other people have seen him. Once they actually aired that story, people were coming out saying, oh, yeah, you know. But very, very active location up there, Cheatham Hill, battlefields in general. You guys have all said that you've been to Gettysburg.
Yeah.
I have not. But anybody that tells me that they've been there tells me that is just incredible. I can't, you know. I mean, did you all, when you actually walk through the battlefield, could you sense the activity there? Could you?
In Gettysburg,
you feel the weight of history when you're there. Mm-hmm.
I think that's inevitable to feel that, though.
Yeah.
It's just a natural human reaction.
It actually, like, it wraps itself around you, the history and the deep meaning and the you know, the...
Well, the heaviness of it, man.
It's heavy.
But
it really is.
Do you think that's because we all know the history of the place? I mean, or did you actually feel like you walked out there and saw something happening?
It was just,
it's
front loaded. You know what you're walking into.
Yeah, we were definitely front loaded.
And that's going to make you, that's going to definitely, I think, as far from the paranormal side of it, I'll say honestly, I've never really seen anything in Gettysburg. We've been there 3 or 4 times in the last couple of years, and I've never seen anything, never really heard anything, never felt anything that I considered something anomalous. But, you know, I will say that, you know, being front-loaded, knowing what happened there, that's definitely an eerie feeling to have in and of itself. Nothing paranormal, mind you, but I think that might explain some of the... I'm not knocking Gettysburg either, okay, by the way. I'm not knocking it, but I think that might explain some of the, you know, the sightings people may have seen, whether it be during the daytime or the nighttime. You know, with all that on your mind, like, my God, 2,000 people died in this field where I'm standing at right now, your mind is going to do a lot of things. It's gonna think of a lot of stuff. It's going to process a lot of things. So I think that may, you know, the imagination might start running wild, as we all know about here. But it's still an amazing place to go to. And, I mean, someday, hopefully, maybe when we're there, we might actually get something on film. Who knows?
You know, I have to tell you guys, I really, for years, I was a storyteller. You know, I don't claim to be anything other than a storyteller. And when I got to Marietta, you know, of course, with the popularity of all the shows now on TV, the whole scientific side of it, the paranormal investigative side of it, is, you know, very intriguing. So mm-hmm. I did get involved with a local group here, this yeah. Historic Ghost Watch and Investigation, and mostly to learn, you know, because I want to be informed when people talk to me on my tour. And I mean, I love people's stories. I love telling stories, and I love to hear people's stories. And they come on the tour, and a lot of people are very interested and ask me a lot of questions about the things that are happening on some of the shows that they're showing on TV. So I'd like to make an informed answer if I could.
Yeah.
So it's fascinating stuff. I mean, absolutely fascinating. To be honest with you, I think the reason I stayed away from so much of that is because it made it way too real. You know, I mean, like, I don't mind talking about them, but when I know they're standing right next to me, it's a little different.
You mentioned earlier, like, you know, people don't really want to go to haunted houses no more. You know, I mean, especially with, I mean, you just mentioned also a second ago, like, with all the media that's out there, you know, there is a different side to this whole getting scared thing now. It isn't just going to the local JC haunted house and having some 13-year-old grab you with a sheet on his head and, you know, chasing you down a hallway somewhere. It doesn't like that no more. But what I think that really attracts people to these tours maybe is the reality of it. That, you know, you may be getting a lot of people that are from ghost hunting groups who come from more of a scientific background or approach, and then you tell them this story, and they go, "Well, I may have a tool that might show us that. We might be able to get a picture of it, get some EVP samples, whatever it may be." Mm-hmm. And that's the reality of it, right there, too, is that there could be something really going. I mean, there very well may be something going on there, but if you have somebody that can actually get a picture of it, wow, that's scary.
I've only really been on about, I guess maybe at this point about 8 investigations, and what I think is interesting too, when you actually get into this more of the scientific side of it, is that I find myself, I'm very skeptical, and I was surprised because I've been around these ghosts and these ghost stories for years now, but it's interesting what you actually found out about yourself, and that, you know, you just don't accept. I mean, there have been things that have happened to all of you all that in locations that you kind of keep to yourself because, you know, you're thinking, okay, yeah, nobody's going to believe this except a ghost tour guide, so I'll tell her that story. But we actually have a local museum here. It's a museum today right on Marietta Square. And, Doug, I don't know if you remember the Kennesaw House. Does that ring a bell to you? The Kennesaw House Museum?
I did not go there, no.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
Actually was a hotel built back in 1844. It was purchased by a family from Massachusetts in 1855, and then, of course, they raising a family there, and then they got caught up in the middle of the war between the states, that's what we call it here. And the building was taken and turned into a hospital, first treating Confederate, then both Confederate and Federal soldiers,
mm-hmm.
and it was the first three floors were the hospital, and the fourth floor was the morgue. Now, when General Sherman came through, he took over the building, briefly set up his headquarters there. When he departed on his infamous March to the Sea, he set fire to the town, and now there were specific buildings that he did not target, and there are lots and lots of stories today as to why. And, you know, a lot of people speculate, well, this family was owned, or this hotel, or this now hospital was owned by this family from the north, so mm-hmm. he didn't burn the building. But at the time, the fourth floor was destroyed, probably from the fire surrounding it. So today, it's been a number of things over the years, but reported hauntings have been coming out of the location since those days of the Civil War. You know, it was a restaurant for a while. It was retail shops. It's been a number of different things. A hotel again. We have a story of a gentleman checking into the hotel. His room was on the third floor. He jumped on the elevator, went up to his third floor room, got checked in, stepped out to get a bite to eat. When he came back, it was after hours, maybe 10, 11 o'clock at night. He tells us when he stepped off the elevator, at that point, he looked up and he was standing in the middle of an operating room.
Wow.
Straight out of a Civil War hospital. Talking about, you know, a bloody patient on a table, a doctor, you know, a doctor in a Civil War outfit. So he, you know, thinking he's walked in on a reenactment, steps back on the elevator and hits the first floor button, goes back down to the first floor and finds the front desk and says, you know, what have I missed? But they both head back upstairs and the floor's, you know, it's a hotel. So, but that one location, there have been three or four different groups that have come and investigated that. Now, our group has not been in there yet, but there are claims of 700 ghosts in that one location.
Wow.
Now, you know, they talk about hauntings in places of trauma and places that certainly was a place of trauma, you know. People want to know why the fourth floor was morgue. Well, I'll let you guys guess about that. It gets pretty hot here in the summer, so you don't want it on the first floor, I don't think.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's now today the gentleman who started a museum there, and he's having a lot of success, but I think maybe it's because of the nature of what he's doing there. You know, he honors those that have gone before us, and mm-hmm. you know, lots of memorabilia from the war and all the wars actually, but he actually has spent a lot of time there, a lot of it by himself and very, very late at night. This gentleman's from Marietta, born and raised here, and, you know, he will tell you straight up that he doesn't believe in ghosts.
Yeah.
But when he talks about his experiences in there, you know, I mean, it scares the ghost tour guide, so, you know. and he has gotten some amazing stuff on his security cameras.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I'm not a photographer. I'm trying to read about various ghost photographs and you know, listen to some of the experts and things, but I've taken photographers in there, and we've looked at some of the locations where these images have occurred and when and how they've occurred, and you can't explain them. I mean, he has an image on his one of his security cameras that it's a woman in an antebellum dress. You know, she's got her hair pulled back, and it's her profile, and it's just phenomenal. So, I don't know. I mean, what is that? is that one of the 700 ghosts? I don't know, possibly.
It's awesome
but,
is what it is because...
Oh, yeah, it's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing stuff.
You know, I can't even imagine...
Well, I've heard a story similar to that in Gettysburg, actually, in regards to the gentleman coming off the elevator and seeing, like, you know, an operating room.
Right, there was one ladies, I think... Mark Nesbitt talks about it. There were a couple ladies who were in one of the buildings that's now a college building,
and they
went down to the basement or something. And
they opened the door up, and there's like a doctor. what I remember them saying when Mark said was that...
There's like operating stuff going on, and then somebody sees them.
And points them out. Yeah.
Points out and starts going over to them. But then, of course, they're like
hey,
frozen
what are you doing?
Solid, right? And they go... And then the door is closed, and then they go back to our own... time period.
Well, Joni, I gotta say something. It's like top of the hour here, unfortunately.
Oh man!
And,
I feel like we just got started.
I feel like we did too. Yeah.
But what incredible stories! And
we're gonna have you come back on some time. We got to definitely
have
you
back on. Please, I'd
love
to
have you.
And you're
hey, you know, you got a friend down in Marietta, right? So
thank
you.
Excellent. Now I know exactly what I do. I'd go on the ghost tour, and
there you go,
and probably hang out in that museum. All right, your website.
Come on down and see us down here.
I love it. We can get some sweet tea.
Y'all.
And,
oh, Lord.
I'm telling you. Your website, www.ghostsofmarietta.com.
Yes.
Definitely check that out, everybody. Joni, thank you so much for joining us. Stay on the line.
Listen, I really appreciate
it.
You guys. Stay warm, okay?
Yeah, don't leave us yet.
Don't hang up quite yet.
We're just going to go to break. Hang up for 1 second,
Joni. All right. Mm-hmm.
All right, guys.
Sure.
Wow, that half an hour just
blew by.
Very fast.
Man, it's gone.
I know. I'm telling you about it.
But coming up next is going, and Joni was absolutely...
I think
it's
going to carry in real nice, too.
But it's going to be perfect because coming up next is Patrick K. Burke,
yeah.
and we're going to be talking about Battlefield Ghosts.
Yeah.
So it totally fits in. And,
yeah,
and it wasn't planned to be a theme show, but...
May.
No,
but,
it was.
It wasn't. And then
synchronicity.
Synchronicity, there we go. Joni, hang on the line for just a moment. We're going to go into break. Everybody enjoy the independent music that we selected.
Thank you.
For more info, visit ghostlytalk.com.